This is a reading from 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, church. How y'all doing? Thank you, Lauren. That was great. We're going to revisit some of that as we go a little bit further. If this is your first time with us, we are thrilled to have you. For everyone, it matters that you are here. And we are in this five-part series. This is part four, where we've been discerning, talking about hearing God's voice, hearing from God and trying to discern his voice in our life. And just like the training of our palate for food, we've said that we're going to be working on training our palate to hear God's voice in our life. And in week one, we talked about God's voice and how it is full of both grace and truth. In week two, we looked at creation and we talked about how creation draws us to the Creator himself and reveals that God really wants a relationship with us. And last week we looked at scripture and the scriptures and the Bible, and we saw how God reveals himself more clearly, more fully through that, and how we can engage with God through scriptures and even to do that with others in our life. And this week, we're going to be developing our palate further by looking at how God speaks through the church. So before I go any further, let me pray to kick us off. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to gather, to hear your word, to engage in worship, to listen for your voice. Lord, I pray that this morning that's what would happen. No matter where we come from, what we're bringing into this space, Lord, that we could be fully present, that we could lay it all down at your feet, that we could experience your presence, your spirit, that we would hear your voice today. Lord, speak to us, each and every one of us, as only you can. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, when we talk about the church, one thing I want to do is to get us on the same page. And so when we think of church, a lot of times this is what people think of. They think of building or this one or another. It could be really ornate and decorative. It could be a big warehouse. It could be, I've been in buildings where there were people met for church that were literally nightclubs in L.A., You can meet in a lot of places, but that's not church. This is actually church. You can keep going. And this, and this. This is church. Church is about people. The people are the church, even if they're dressed like superheroes. Which, mind you, this is a shameless plug. Come to the Superhero Bash tonight. It's going to be awesome. 5:30, 8:30, my kid has been dying to dress up like that all week, and tonight is his night. I was like, tonight, you can shine. So, come to the Superhero Bash. But when we talk about church, I want to be clear. We're not talking about buildings. We're in this space, 1541. So many times we say, yeah, let's go to New Life. Really? Like, if you're in this church, if you're part of the church as the body, you're the people. That's you. It's wherever you go, where you meet, where you gather. This is the building we gather in. Make sense? So when we talk about church, how does God speak through the church? We're talking about people. And why? Why is it about people? Why is it about the church? I'm glad you asked that. You didn't, but I know you're going to. So we're going to jump into scripture. We're going to look at Ephesians. We're going to have it on the slide as we go through here. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love for you to get a free one. We have them at the Info Center. If you are like, well, I have a Bible, but I'm looking over and this person doesn't look like they have a Bible, awesome opportunity. You could say, do you have a Bible? No? Great. You can get them a gift and give it to them after the service. They'll love you for it, all right? So get Bibles. We want you reading them. We're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians, this is Paul. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. And when he does, he's talking about something that's come up in the people, which is this little bit of hostility between some Jews and Gentiles. The Jews are the Israelite people. They are God's chosen people who they were waiting for the long-awaited Messiah. They were given regulations, how to live right, how to sacrifice to atone for sin and live right for God. And they were his people. The Gentiles, that's everyone else. You're not in the promises of God. That's just how it was. Well, that all changed through Christ. And this is Paul writing to the church to kind of explain some of this. And so he says in verse 13, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us." Notice there, through his blood, through his broken body on the cross, he has made one people. We're going to get to come back to that and celebrate more of that later in our service today. And then it goes on. "He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles, by creating in himself one new people from the two groups together as one body. Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other has been put to death." And so it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your background is. In Christ, it is a level playing field. We're all in this together. We're all included. It says he brought this good news of peace to the Gentiles who were far away from him and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. That's what's awesome is through what God has done on the cross, we are now brought together to the Father. And we talk about God, he's a triune God. And a lot of people are like, well, where is that in Scripture? It's actually right here. This is just one place. It's in so many places, but it says Father, Holy Spirit, and Christ. Another way to say that is we come to God through the same God because of what God has done for us. This is how it's possible. This is why we are gathered together. And when I was out at University of New Hampshire as an undergrad, this is where God really started to teach me about the church and about his people. Because when I went out there, I knew no one. I was at Western Michigan. I grew up in Michigan my whole life. Went out there. Had never been east of Pennsylvania. So I go through all these new states. I get there. I finally meet some Christians in a gathering. And the first thought was, I don't know. I don't really connect with any of these people. They're a little weird. And what God began to tell me was, cool. It's not about you. This is my family. These are my people. Welcome. You belong to. And what I experienced through that, out at 2 years of college in the University of New Hampshire, was so profound about the church. That some of these people who I would have never engaged with on my own because of what we have united in Christ, we're still talking to this day, 20 years later. This week, through Facebook message, we were sending prayer requests to one another. They prayed over this message and over you. People who on my first thought was, I don't know about them. And some of you in this room, you're like, you're there. You're looking around. You're going, what am I doing here? These people are weird. This is crazy. Awesome. Welcome to the body of Christ. We all belong. We're all part of this. And Paul goes on from this. He says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Some of you, that's as far as you need to go today. Just receive that. You belong. You are part of God's holy family. You are members of his family. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are a member of his family, his holy people. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of rock and stone. No, it says apostles and prophets. Get that? People. Built on people. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself, the true person. This is not about building structure, stone. It's about people. And we are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And I love this, that we are the temple. Individually, collectively, that God lives in us and amongst us. And he's building this with people. I was on social media this week and I saw a post from Lecrae. Anyone know Lecrae? Christian rapper. And he was holding up a little cup. I think he was taking communion. I'm going to assume. It was red. I don't know if it was juice or wine. And in the background, you see the Dome of the Rock, which is where the temple used to sit. And he just said in there, he goes, I'm just thankful that I am part of the temple now, that we don't need this temple. And I'm reminded of who Christ has made us to be. And I thought, that's awesome. That even though the temple physically doesn't exist where it used to exist, that we are the living temple, that we are the body of Christ. And then it says this, made of his dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So the church is people. It's not only that, it's where his Spirit lives. It's where God, his Holy Spirit, lives. And this is all from what Jesus said. The night before he died, he washed his disciples' feet. They had a meal. He walked out, and he kind of had some long discourses, like his last lecture, and he shared. And in there, he said this, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Think about the word advocate. He's advocating for you in your life, that he's there for you. He is the Holy Spirit. Let me just clarify, in case you're missing this, disciples, he's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jump down to verse 26. But when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and he will remind you of everything I have told you. He leads to grace and truth. And what's so incredible about this, about the Holy Spirit being us, even Jesus himself, all the crazy and miracle things he did, he said, you'll do greater than I. And you're worried about what I've said, that I'm going to die, but it's good that I go because I'll go to the Father and I'll send the Spirit. And now he'll be in all of you who believe and follow. I mean, this is the purpose of the church. It's not just we gather together and it's like he wants to indwell people so that you can experience the love of God and you can give the love of God. And you get to be a part of this. Jesus said, after he said all this, he was handed over that night. He was crucified the next day. He was laid to rest in a tomb, and 3 days later, he was risen from the dead. And people were grieving. His disciples were, there was wonder, what's going on? And Jesus appeared to them in multiple ways and multiple times. And it says in one of those, Jesus said, and again, he said, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. That verse is on our back wall. We want to live sent as a church. That we are carrying with us the message of Christ, the character of Christ, his love into the world as we go. And this is what's awesome, and I hope you will connect the dots every time you see that verse when you leave here, is he said, then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That I'm not just sending you out on your own strength. I want you to go in my strength, in my power, in my Spirit. It's through his power and might that he wants us to live sent, to go into the world. And for some here, you may be thinking about the power of God. What does that even look like? You haven't studied it a lot. Maybe this is all new. Maybe you grew up in the church and you're just kind of coming here on your own. That was me. As a freshman in college, I didn't know any of this. And when I read this, I was starting to go, whoa, what? The Holy Spirit living in me? Personal relationship? This is awesome. What's the Holy Spirit? Who is that? And it was awesome because I went to the scriptures. And this is what you see where Paul says to 1 Corinthians, he wrote another letter. He's writing this letter to the Corinthian church. And they're not just talking about division. They're all son being in the power of the Spirit and experiencing the Spirit's power in new ways. They're seeing gifts and things happen, which is just like Jesus said, you're going to do greater things than I. And the Spirit's going to come. He's going to move. And this is all playing out in the Corinthian church. And so Paul writes to clarify, and he says in chapter 12, verse 1, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. And then he goes into detail. And he says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of services, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. For some of you, I hope you're like getting on the edge of your seat. You're like, all right, keep going. I'm not. I want you to keep going. I want you to do what Nick talked about last week, to go to the scriptures. We can hear a lot about spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit. We can read about a ton, and that's all good and great. The greatest thing you can do is to get alone with Scripture and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What does he want to say through the Scripture to you? Maybe do it in community. share that with a few. And as you grow and go, you may look to teachers or readings or books, other things. But I'm telling you, this is so transformative that he's given you, the people of God, his Holy Spirit, and he wants us to operate with his Holy Spirit, to be in unison with his Spirit, that we'd be empowered by his strength to do things that make no sense to us, that have no explanation other than God. And what's crazy is when I think all this, there's a picture I have for you. This is a picture. That's me on a Saturday in my house with my kids. They tied me, they taped me, they covered my ears, they handcuffed me, and that all was just in fun, and there was a moment when I was looking at this picture, and I just felt like the Lord said, that's how many in my church are. Some are doing this to others in the church. Some are living that way themselves. Some don't even know it, because we have a real enemy who wants you to go like this. He wants us to show up at church on Sunday like that, where we're really not hearing everything. We're really not speaking everything the Lord may speak through us to encourage someone or go out of our way to show love. We feel like, wow, that's really hard. Someone should do something. I don't know how. When maybe it's the Spirit wants to move in us to actually meet the need of someone else. And it's heartbreaking. We don't want a church like this. This is funny on a Saturday with kids and a dad. It's not funny if this is the reality in the church. And I think for some in this room, this actually might be where you're at. And it's a struggle. And so I'm gonna do this. I don't know how it's gonna go. I feel led to pray over all of us right now. The sermon's not over, we're gonna keep talking. But often you'll hear this when it's kind of a salvation message, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want us all to do that right now. Would you just bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? And if you feel like you connect with something in this picture, that there's something in that that resonates with your heart, your soul, your mind, whether you've done that to others or you feel that way in your own life, I feel like God wants to break you free today. So with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, if there's anything the Lord's speaking to you in this picture, would you just raise your hand? Thank you. 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 Church, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Pray with me. Lord, there are hundreds in this room that resonate with this picture in some way. I don't know all those ways, but you do. God, would you move in this church? Would you break us free of lies and bondage and beliefs? Lord, if we ourselves have done this to others, would you call us to repentance? Lord, would you free us to operate as your church? Men and women and kids of all ages, Lord, who are free with your Spirit in our midst, that you would empower, embolden, that you would fill us daily with your Spirit, and we would listen and hear your voice, Lord. Help us act to be your mouth, to be your hands and feet. And if you raised your hand in this moment, would you just own in your Spirit that Lord wants you to be free? You are free in the Spirit of God. His Spirit is poured out unto you. You do not have to be ashamed or live in fear. You can be free in Christ. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you. There were hundreds in this room of hands that went up. I just want you to know. And I say that because I want you as a church to keep in prayer over the people who raised their hands here today. And maybe even some who didn't have the courage to raise a hand. The Lord is wanting to do something in our midst. I don't know what it is, but here's the truth. God speaks in and through his people, and that includes you. God speaks in and through his people, and that includes you. In and through his church. That was huge when I latched onto this. Because the reality is, when we gather as a church, it is different. It's not just like gathering with people you like or you have an affinity group with or hey, we love the same team or we play this instrument or we're in the same major. We gather because we are the church. We're the body of Christ. Christ, the Holy Spirit is in each and every one of you. And so, yes, I'm up here standing and teaching, but I fully expect that I can hear God speak through any and every one of you, that I can receive God's love through you, his grace, his mercy, that you could rebuke me on areas of sin or where I fall short. And I can also receive God's grace and forgiveness through each and every one of you. This is what the church is supposed to be. This is what we've meant to be. And you have an opportunity with the Spirit in you where you could help others know who he is, what he's done, and how he sees them. God can use you to minister to others. You are a part of the body of Christ. If you belong to the church, you believe in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit's in your life. I love what the verse, Romans 15:13, that says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's as you trust in him, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He gives you his gift at belief. When you say, you are who you say you are, I love you, I trust you, I want my life to be lived for you, he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're filled with joy and peace. Why? Because it's God in you. Are you kidding me? Come on. You have peace. You go, all that sin, all that bondage is gone. I'm in right standing with Christ. He's made me righteous in his eyes. Not only that, he's given you the Holy Spirit to empower you to live for him. And this is what's so beautiful, is that as a church, we want to reflect the character of Christ in our life. That's one of our aim is to reflect the character of Christ. It's one of our values. And the character of Christ is love. God is love. And that was the passage that we started at in 1 Corinthians, verse 13, that Lauren read in the beginning. And that chapter flows out of the gifts in chapter 12, where he says all kinds of things like apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping others, gifts of leadership. But then he says, but now let me show you the way that is best in life. And he says this, if I could speak of all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would be only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Can you just picture that? I was a history minor. I took Chinese history and we had to watch these plays. Anyone that knows it, and there's just these banging gongs the whole time. And I was like, what is this? Like, when I read this, I have an image. There it is. If I had a gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, wouldn't that be awesome? I know all his secret plans, all his knowledge. And if I had such faith that I could move mountains, these are pretty awesome things, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. All of that, nothing without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. And then it rolls into that passage about love is patient and kind and beautiful. Keeps no records. For some of you, your homework is to go read 1 Corinthians 12:13-14. And maybe just keep going to the end of the book through Revelations. All right? I know, some of you thought I was just saying Corinthians. No, finish the Bible. It's all good. And this is what's awesome is God is inviting us in to be his body, to be his mouthpiece, to be his hands and feet, and to love, to do it with love. And so I don't have a cute way to tie all this up. I don't have a slide for it, but I thought of it. It was learn, listen, love. Learn. As a disciple of Christ, that means you're a learner. You're learning from God, from the Holy Spirit. Will you choose to learn? Say learn. Say listen. Say love. Now try all three. All right, you got it. That's great. All right, so learn from the Lord. Listen. Listen for the Holy Spirit and how he's speaking through each of you. Look to your right. This is your right. Look to your left. All right, now actually look to the person to the right. Now look to the person to the left. God could speak through those people. Right there. They're on each side of you. If God is in them, the Holy Spirit, he can speak through them. Some of you are like, yeah, you can. About time you listen up. That would be prideful. Don't go there. But the Lord can speak through each and every one of you. And we want it to be done in love, that you're going to offer yourself in love and humility, not in pride and arrogance. All the gifts are special. All of them matter. I was walking out there, and Jack was in charge of the tech, or not tech, but that's over here. That would be interesting, too. He's actually still sitting out there at the info center. He's serving. He's directing for the hospitality out there. And the crazy thing is, as I was passing by, he's got the people, and he goes, yeah, you know what? The new stats say that the first 7 minutes of someone coming to a church, they decide if this is a place for them. 7 minutes! Do you know what you do in 7 minutes at church? You park a car and find a seat. That's it. That's it. That's 7 minutes, and you're deciding, is this a community for me? But it's true. These are the stats. They've done research on it. And that's what's crazy. When we talk about opportunities to serve, we had all these people up here saying opportunities. Think through. That's an opportunity for you to love, to show up on Sunday and love others, to show up on Sunday and worship God. That you, like, imagine this being a place. My prayer is that we would be such a place of love that people experience love in tangible ways. That when you're pulling your car into park on Sunday and you've had a rough week, you could be out there smiling at someone and you're the first beam of light and hope they've had all week. You're like, parking a car? Yes! Rough week, smiling face. That's good. You walk to the door, you could be shaking someone's hand, welcoming them into the church, either the outside or the auditorium. We have greeters at both. We love you. We need you. You could be welcoming someone in, and as if, like, God's love is coming through my eyes. I'm going to welcome you into this place as if you're walking into heaven. Imagine that. Imagine the kids' ministry. You have an opportunity. We need 31 people. There's more than 31 in here. We could fill this today to have all of our classes fully staffed one time a month to serve in a kids' ministry where you can make a difference sharing Christ's love to the littlest amongst us. Jesus said, let the little ones come. Why don't you go to them? Because if we don't, they are going to come in here. I'm just being honest. We don't have class. They're coming in here. So let's go to them. Let's love on them. You're going to give mom and dad an opportunity to come here and not have like someone tugging on their jeans. First time in a week, they're like, thank you. If you're a parent, love those who serve. Give them praise and thanks for being in there. When I was a kid, they said the stat was 1-6. 1-6 ratio, 1 adult per 6 kids. I was like, hey, that's pretty good. That's not bad. We can shoot for that. And then I did some research and study, and I was listening to all these people, Fuller Theological Seminary Institute, a study of kids and youth and all this stuff. And you know what they said? 6-1. That's what we need now, 6-1. 6 adults per 1 kid. Every kid needs to know 6 adults in their church, know them by name, love them, care about them, support them, for those kids to grow up and feel like they belong in the church, they belong to Christ, they're part of the body, they can navigate the craziness of middle school, come on, the insanity of high school, and flourish in college. 6-1. And I love that because we can step in and serve, and then on Sundays, it's already happening. Kids are coming upstairs, they're walking around, and they're like, hey, I know you, hey, Alex, blah, blah, blah. They come home and they talk to us as parents. They're like, yeah, so-and-so was in my class. They're awesome. I'm like, who? They're like, I don't know his name. He's awesome. But they see you walking around. And as adults, we have an opportunity to invest in the littles and be like, hey, you're awesome. Give me 5. To make this a loving, fun community. We can do this every single Sunday. And not do it on your own strength, but do it in the power of God. Do it empowered in his body. This is what Jesus said in John 13. He said, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We can do that each and every week when we gather on Sundays, when you gather for teams or house church or whatever group you're in during the week, when you're gathering to study, wherever you go, you can be the love of Christ to one another. And I'm going to end with this quote from Francis Chan. He said, the world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. And a lot of times people think of church and they think guilt and weight and law. But the reality is it's freedom in Christ. It's love. And love is a far greater motivator than guilt will ever be. Will you lean into the love of Christ in your life, the power of the Spirit, and be the church and listen for how he's speaking in and through us because he's doing it all the time. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your church. Lord, I thank you that you are the one who made it. Lord, that you came and you took the Jews and the Gentiles, all the people of the earth, and made one people for yourself. Lord, that we can learn from you. Lord, we can listen for your voice in our midst And Lord, we can love like you loved. Lord, would you empower us with your spirit? Would you free us from the things that hold us back? And Lord, would we reflect your love in another worldly way that makes a difference for eternity? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to have communion in this time. And this is, it's gluten-free in the front, the back, and in the balcony. We have juice. You can take a piece of the bread, dip it in the juice. And this is symbolic for all you who believe and are followers of Christ. This is what Ephesians talked about, that through the blood of Christ, we've been brought together. Through the breaking down of hostilities with his broken body, that Jesus on that last night, he actually gathered with his disciples and he took the bread and he broke it and said, this is my body done for you. And he took the cup of juice, or the wine, and he said, this is my blood poured out for you. And what he brought together in the Christ through his blood and his broken body is us. We get to be a part of this because of what he's done. And so we celebrate that in communion today. And we're also going to have prayer ministers in the front and in the back to pray over anything you would like prayer for. And so as we enter into this time, I'd ask for you to engage with just the reality, the beauty of what Christ has done on the cross for us. That you belong, that you matter, and that he wants to move in and through you and speak through you in this body. Thank you.